I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. My pal, wearing a seafoam-colored hoodie today, is Dan Menigan. That's not Packer.
Dan, do you want to tell him that we're on the radio?
That's not Packer green.
I've always wanted to own a guitar that was this color, and I can't afford a guitar that was this color because I work in radio, so I bought a cheap sweatshirt.
You guys do realize we're on the radio and no one can see
you.
You know, the great thing,
do you remember that there was a TV commercial where a detective is interrogating a suspect?
Yeah.
And he gets like it right in his face, and he grabs his shirt, and he said, is that seafoam? I always love that commercial.
Yeah, I always wanted to own a seafoam green Fender Stratocaster, and I can't afford one, so bought the sweatshirt.
It's a really nice seafoam sweatshirt. Very nice.
Oh, boy. Anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Tyvis Powell. He wears seafoam.
Are clogs coming back in style?
And then at 1:30...
I mean, a little bit. I mean, those Crocs are essentially clogs.
1:30, Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
Yeah. Rubber.
1:30, Kevin Stefanski, the non-play caller of the Cleveland Browns, which seemed to make no difference.
Wow, that was really harsh and very too soon.
The non-play caller?
I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Hey, man, the guy's the head coach. That's what his job is.
Be in charge of all three phases of the game, as he said yesterday.
He made the right move, apparently for yesterday anyway.
True.
We'll see how it progresses. You know, The one thing, you know, we've been able to... Here's the thing. When Deshaun was quarterback, before his injury...
Well,
you know, it's a shame that he's not the quarterback because the man got hurt and he's out for the season again. And that's rough. And I mean that with all sincerity. Mm-hmm. But we had all kinds of things that you could say. Okay, well, the offensive line is in disarray. You don't have Nick Chubb. You know, numerous other things you could say. Yesterday, the offensive line was still in disarray. You had Wyatt Teller back.
Was it? They didn't look like they were in disarray yesterday.
Exactly. You had DeJuan Jones playing left tackle for the first time in, like, forever. Something that he's not done very much in his career. Didn't seem to be an issue, except maybe that sack right before halftime.
Yeah.
That led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
But... he seemed to look just fine over there at left tackle, which is ultimately where I think he should play in the NFL. At his size, if he has the agility with his feet to keep doing that, I think you've got your left tackle for the next decade, maybe more. And the rest of it, you'll figure out. You know, and Jed Wills will figure that out. But I just think the way that the offense performed yesterday was... the fact that it was so similar to the way that the offense performed when Joe Flacco took over last year, when Joe came in, just makes me, it screams, okay, you got to figure this out next year, because if Deshaun is your quarterback next year, you've got a problem.
Isn't there a part of you that says you want to figure it out this year? I mean, it's not completely dead in the water. I'm just saying.
No, I mean about Deshaun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I agree with 100%. Yep.
I can't tell you that Jameis should be the starting quarterback of this team next year. We've seen him for one game, and it was against the worst pass defense in the NFL, though it was the Baltimore Ravens.
How many games will it take for him to convince you?
About three. It doesn't take much for me, because you know I thought very highly of Jameis' work before he got here. I can live with the interceptions if I have to, but the man can throw the ball downfield, and I always admired that about him.
Would you have felt this way if the play before the touchdown would have been an interception?
Yes, I still would have, because the offense looked significantly better yesterday than it's looked all season long. Significantly better. And that was a horrendous pass. I mean, Kyle Hamilton intercepts that every day of the week. Somehow he didn't. And... good. But, yeah, even with that interception, if it had been, Jameis moved the ball, moved the team, threw it downfield, made players relevant. Elijah Moore was relevant yesterday.
100%.
Cedric Tillman was relevant. Jerry Jeudy, relevant. David Njoku, relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun didn't do that. Josh is in a car. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Hey. Just want to make a couple points and let you guys talk about it. Last week on your show, and Jeff had a guest, I forget who he was, but I don't think it was Scott Petrick, but basically he was saying that Deshaun was making mistakes at the line, which caused him to have flags. And we saw that change this week with the offensive line.
I think there was only one. Was there just one? It was Wyatt Teller. And as Wyatt said, it almost, I feel bad because they almost cost us the game.
Yeah, I think if Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry's smart, we know that our head coach is secure. We have our head coach. There's no concern there. With the moves they made, Andrew Berry's draft picks look better, don't they, with Cedric Tillman?
Yeah.
Well, he did. He played.
Yesterday he did. Yeah.
I thought Cedric was terrific. The last two games, actually, Josh.
So I just really think we have our answers. I just hope that Jimmy stays his hand with at least Kevin, and we can just find a quarterback that fits Kevin's system, because that's the problem, right? Kevin's stubborn. He's going to run his offense no matter what. He's bullheaded. So just get him a quarterback that's a young Joe Flacco or a young Jameis Winston. That's all we need. If Jameis is the guy for 2 years to train that guy, so be it. Let's just stick with what we know.
I can't see Kevin saying let it burn, because I've got to I don't know. I don't think Kevin's that guy. I think Kevin's the guy that's going to try to change the offense.
That's why Ken Dorsey was hired.
Yeah. I don't know. Stubborn, I get it. Maybe I just don't see it, though. That's the problem.
I got one more comment to make.
Sure.
This is just from a fan. I know I'm a fan. I'm a season ticket holder. No fan in this city, and I hate to say that, it's because Watson has not made himself known. He's a ghost, okay? We all want to give Watson a fair shake when he came over. We did not judge him. I know my group didn't. We were just trying to be neutral about it. The guy has stunk up the room. He hasn't put his case to the people of Cleveland. He doesn't make himself known. When he's not here, he's gone. He's not like a Myles Garrett or a Baker Mayfield when he was here, who was with the community and spent time with the community. We are done with him. Good luck to you, brother. We wish you well. You're not meant to be here. We don't want you here. I hope that was his last start for the Browns, because it's embarrassing for him and it's embarrassing for this franchise. Thanks.
Josh, thank you. One thing, Dan, sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to give an update. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah put out on Twitter, all is well.
Good.
Praise be to God. Essentially is a translation of what he said there, because if I try to pronounce that, that's not going to end well. So, yeah, okay. It sounds like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is doing well. Again, Kevin Stefanski will address the media later today when that happens. We will have that for you on your home of the Browns, 92 to the Fan.
Let me, again, we're looking down the road here, and it's tough, I think, Andy, to get overly jacked up about one win yesterday because of the fact that the team was 1-6. Okay, now they're 2-6. There's a long way to go before this season becomes anything more than, boy, that one.
Should I give you the issue with the 1-6 part of it?
Go ahead.
Four of those games were very winnable.
Oh, without question.
That's the hard part.
But they weren't.
People were screaming, switch quarterbacks, switch quarterbacks.
Right, but they didn't, and now you're 2-6. But if Jameis gets a chance to play here, let me just... And here's some food for thought. If he gets a chance to play the rest of this season and gets a chance to play the most since he's played since he was in Tampa, when in his last season, yes, he threw 30 interceptions, but also had 33 touchdown passes and led the NFL in pass attempts and passing yardage with over 5,000. If he gets a chance and is some semblance of what he was yesterday, and this offense was some semblance of what it was yesterday, he's only 30 years old. He doesn't turn 31 until January, so next year he'd be 31 years old. Pittsburgh just brought in 35-year-old Russell Wilson. Tampa brought in, now it's a different guy, but what, 40-year-old Tom Brady or 42-year-old Tom Brady? Houston or Atlanta just brought in, how old's Kirk Cousins? 35? Something like that? I mean, in theory, if this coaching staff likes Jameis, they like his play, and they think they can work with him. And he's 31 next year. 31, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 seasons before he hits Russell Wilson age.
How many quarterbacks have we had around here for more than 5 years?
Just throwing that out. Matt is in New York. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys, I interned for you over a decade ago. Thanks for having me on.
Has life been okay since?
Life's been pretty great.
You must be doing okay. You're living in New York, so.
Well, I don't know if he's on the street and is it a payphone.
That's true. If we taught you anything, you probably are, so. Yeah.
First up, just, you know, rest in peace to Jim Donovan. My condolences to his family. Great that they got a win. Sad they couldn't do it while he was still around. But great to get a win in his honor. And I love asking Baskin. But my question for you guys, obviously, like, Jameis injected some energy into the offense. I love the way he just, can you please explain, like, options with Deshaun? I know the last caller was saying, hey, we're done with him. I agree. I want him gone. He's not the guy. We know this. But no one's going to take him in a trade. What are the options, like what hypotheticals that you guys know about for the Browns to deal with it?
Matt, thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed your time with us. The situation is this. He's less punitive for the Browns if they keep him on the roster. Does that basically sum it up, Dano?
You need to be able to push his contract forward by giving him these cash options at the beginning of the year. That's better for the team.
All right, yeah. So here's...
And then the other thing is, if the injury is severe, that you might be able to come out of it with... And I don't even know how that plays into the dead cap or any of those other things. What happens if he comes up with a retirement injury settlement? What does that mean as far as contract?
Which, by the way, if I'm him, I'm not settling.
Well, what if the settlement's the full contract?
Well, that's a different story.
Okay. All right.
So I can do this in about 30 seconds or less. We're gonna give this a whirl.
Go.
So let's say nobody, you know, anything that you laid out when injury settlements and all that stuff, that doesn't happen. This is the reality of the situation. If you were to move on from him next season, it would be $119 million on the cap. So that is not an option that you want, because you would basically have to tear this roster down to the studs just to be able to pay for him. It's the same thing in 20, or that's the 25 deal. In 26, you can just cut him, and it's 72 mil on the cap, which is horrific, but it's better than 118 million. So that this is the part where you're stuck. If you cut him, you're going to have a very hard time putting together a contending team. If you pay him to stay home, you can yank the lever on that roster and still maintain a level of contention, though he would be in the locker room as a backup quarterback unless you sent him home. So in reality, you're trying to tread water until about 2026.
All right, let me ask you this question. What happens if next year they reformat the contract so that he gets cash up front, okay?
Okay, they'll yank that lever, yeah, which is probably what's going to happen.
Okay, so, and they would do. And then they would cut him. What would happen at that point?
It would be the same hit on the cap.
Oh, all right.
That cap number.
Good,
right,
good try, Andy.
It would be the same dead money hit on there. That's the best way to put it. It'd be the same level of dead money hit. The cap number is down, but you would still end up with that penalty on there from moving on for the. It's basically a penalty. Put it that way.
All right. Can't we just put a little box and put the front office in there for like 2 minutes and then?
You know, it would be nice, but alas. Money doesn't work like hockey.
Alas.
Though it would be a good thing.
Some levels are only going 130 now.
Alas. Yeah. It's Baskin and Phillips here on The Fan.